Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today inshallah we will have the class number 25 of the spiritual clinic, and actually it is the class number 14 in a series of the answered supplications, and it's class number 4 in the Believe in Allah's Decree, and the title of the class is Be Content with Allah's Decree. Today inshallah we will continue to learn the benefits of the belief in Allah's decree. Inshallah today we will learn from the Quran the proofs for one of the Quranic rules which we learned last week. Now we will know about the Quran inshallah, the Quranic rule which we learned last week, and then we will learn about the proofs from the Quran regarding this rule from the stories of the Quran inshallah. The Quranic rule is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 216. Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 216. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا وهو خير لكم وعسى أن تحبوا شيئا وهو شر لكم والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And it may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you dislike a thing which is bad for you. Allah knows, but you do not know.
Actually, this is the Quranic rule which we learned last week, and actually it is one of the rules of the belief in Allah's decree, that Allah is the only one who knows the unseen, and mankind know not, so we must be always open for the options for any of our decisions. Maybe I want to travel to another country and I like and I love to travel, but it will turn that it was not good for me, and so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevent me from traveling, because it was I like it and I feel it is good for me, but I don't know. Allah, the one who knows, he knows that this trip is not good for me, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevent me from going to it. So this is the rule, that it may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you like a thing which is bad for you. So Allah is preventing us sometimes from things which we like, because in reality, in spite of the fact we like it, but it is bad for us. And there are many events of our life which we dislike, and actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us to leave these events, because it will turn that it has a lot of good for us, based on the rule that Allah knows but we know not. Actually in Surah Al-Kahf, Surah number 18, from verse number 65 to verse number 82, we will learn that what lies beyond our human perception should be left totally to Allah, who will conduct it on the basis of His perfect and absolute knowledge and wisdom. As for us, we must believe that so long we have no knowledge regarding the unseen, so we must accept all the decree of Allah with all the belief that the decree of Allah is the good for us, even if it seems the opposite. Actually, now we will read from Surah Al-Kahf, from Surah verse number 65 to verse number 82, and we will learn about a story which actually is known, the story of Prophet Musa with the pious man Al-Khidr, and the three trips and the three events which happened between them, and inshallah this will clarify to us the meaning of the previous verse of the Quran, verse number 216 from Surah Al-Baqarah. Now inshallah we will read from Surah Al-Kahf, Surah number 18, and we will read from 65 to 82. Finally, we will reach the verse number 3, and then we will move to 65 immediately, then from 65 to 82. But we'll start with verse number 60. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. So that we will know whom the people are mentioning in these events. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا فَوَجَدَ عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا قال له موسى هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا قال إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا وكيف تصبر على ما لم تحط به خبرا قال ستجدني إن شاء الله صابرا ولا أعصي لك أمرا قال فإن اتبعتني فلا تسألني عن شيء حتى أحدث لك منه ذكرا فانطلقا حتى إذا ركبا في السفينة خرقها قال أخرقتها لتغرق أهلها لقد جئت شيئا إمرا قال ألم أقل إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا قال لا تؤاخذني بما نسيت ولا ترهقني من أمري عسرا فانطلقا حتى إذا لقيا غلاما فقتله قال أقتلت نفسا زكية بغير نفس لقد جئت شيئا نكرا قال ألم أقل لك إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا قال إن سألتك عن شيء بعدها فلا تصاحبني قد بلغت من لدني عذرا فانطلقا حتى إذا أتيا أهل قرية استطعما أهلها فأبوا أن يضيفوهما فوجدا فيها جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقامه قال لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا قال هذا فراق بيني وبينك سأنبئك بتأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا أما السفينة فكانت لمساكين يعملون في البحر فأردت أن أعيبها وكان وراءهم ملك يأخذ كل سفينة غصبا وأما الغلام فكان أبواه مؤمنين فخشينا أن يرهقهما طغيانا وكفرا فأردنا أن يبدلهما ربهما خيرا منه زكاة وأقرب رحما وأما الجدار فكان لغلامين يتيمين في المدينة وكان تحته كنز لهما وكان أبوهما صالحا فأراد ربك أن يبلغا أشدهما ويستخرجا كنزهما رحمة من ربك وما فعلته عن أمري ذلك تأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا.
And remember, when Musa said to his boy servant, I will not give up traveling until I reach the junction of the two seas or until I spend years and years in traveling. Then they found one of our slaves on whom we had bestowed mercy from us and whom he had taught knowledge from us. Musa said to him, Khidr, may I follow you so that you teach me something of that knowledge, guidance, and true path, which you have been taught by Allah. He, Khidr, said, verily you will not be able to have patience with me. And how can you have patience about a thing which you know not? Musa said, if Allah wills, you will find me patient, and I will not disobey you in aught. He said, then, if you follow me, ask me not about anything till I myself mention of it to you. So they both proceeded till when they embarked the ship, he scuttled it. Musa said, have you scuttled it in order to drown its people? Verily you have committed a thing, Imar, evil, bad, dreadful thing. He said, did I not tell you that you would not be able to have patience with me? Musa said, call me not to account for what I forgot. And be not hard upon me for my affair with you. Then they both proceeded till they met a boy, and he killed him. Musa said, have you killed an innocent person who had killed none? Verily, you have committed a thing, nukr, a great munkar, prohibited evil, dreadful thing. Khidr said, did I not tell you that you have no patience with me? Musa said, if I ask you anything after this, keep me not in your company. You have received an excuse from me. Then they both proceeded till when they came to the people of a town. They asked them for food, but they refused to entertain them. Then they found therein a wall about to collapse, and he Khidr set it up straight. Musa said, if you had wished, surely you could have taken wages for it. Khidr said, this is a parting between me and you. I will tell you the interpretation of those things over which you were unable to hold patience. As for the ship, it belonged to Masaqeen, poor people, working in the sea. I wished to make a defective damage in it, as there was a king behind them who seized every ship by force. And as for the boy, his parents were believers, and we feared lest he should oppress them by rebellion and disbelief. So we intended that their Lord should change him for them for one better in righteousness and near to mercy. And as for the wall, it belonged to two orphan boys in the town, and there was under it a treasure belonging to them, and their father was a righteous man. And your Lord intended that they should attain their age of full strength and take out their treasure as mercy from the Lord. And I did them, not of my own accord. That is the interpretation of those things over which you could not hold patience. And they ask you about Dhul Qurayn?
No, that's it.
Okay.
Actually, we'll know now about the meaning and the lessons of these verses of the Quran. Ubay ibn Ka'b, one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that he heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying Moses was making a speech to the children of Israel when he was asked, which person has been endowed?
Endowed
with most knowledge. Musa replied that he himself was that person. Allah took issue with Musa for not having attributed knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah sent him a message saying that there was a person who had been given greater knowledge than you, Musa. Musa asked Allah to tell him how to meet this man. Allah told him to take a fish with him and to go to the point where the two seas meet. Allah said to Musa to keep the fish in a container. Where he will lose the fish, it will be the place to find that man. Okay? Musa addressed Subhanahu wa ta'ala, bestowed on him some of the knowledge. Okay? For a purpose, which will be clear now. Okay, so when Prophet Musa addressed that pious man called Al-Khidr, okay, he addressed him in the most polite manner. And Musa put his request without making any assumption. And he made it clear that he seeks proper knowledge from a good servant of Allah, so he wants to accompany and follow him. The pious man knows the difficulties ahead, as Allah granted him a part of the divine knowledge for a purpose which Allah wanted to accomplish. So the pious man said to Musa that it will be difficult for him to be patient with something which he can't fully comprehend. But Musa said, if Allah wills, you will find me patient and I will not disobey anything regarding your deeds. So the man stated a condition for Musa for his companionship, that number one, he must remain patient. Number two, not to question any of the action the man will take until the man himself will reveal its purposes. Musa accepted the condition and both of them start the trip. The first event was that they both proceeded along the sea coast till a boat passed by or a ship passed by. They requested the crew to let them go on board. They recognized Al-Khidr and they allowed them to go on board free of charge. While the ship is in the middle of the sea, Al-Khidr made a hole in it. an action that exposes the ship and all the passengers to the risk of being drowned. Confronted with such evil, harmful action, Musa simply forgets the conversation that he had with the man and that he promised not to ask any questions. But Al-Khidr tolerates this with patience, and he gently reminded Musa of what he said earlier. Did I not say that you would not be able to have patience with me? Musa now regrets his overreaction, saying that he completely forgot. He requested the man to accept his apology and to rebuke him. The man accepted the apology and the two proceeded further. The second event was that after when they got out of the ship, they arrived at a village and ran into some young boys playing. Al-Khidr stopped at one boy in particular and killed him. This is a case of murder of a young boy, innocent, perhaps even underage, so that he could be held, he could not be held accountable for any of misdeeds. This was too much for Musa to tolerate patiently, despite all the promises he had given not to question anything. Musa said to Al-Khidr, "You had killed an innocent man without provocation or justification. This is an evil deed." Again, Al-Khidr reminded Musa and warned him that he was expecting this impatient behavior from him. So Musa replied that it will be that if he questions him again for his action, then this will be the end for this companionship. That brings the last scene. The last scene is that they both proceeded to a village and they were both hungry. Yet the villagers were inhospitable. So again, sisters, if we try to lift on this first event, okay, we must realize a very important fact. The owners of the boat were poor people, were kind people. They accepted Al-Khidr and Musa with them for free, because actually they are kind-hearted. Okay, accordingly, we must believe that the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be good for them, even if it seems evil or damaging or destruction for them from outside. Al-Khidr representing Allah's decree caused a small damage in order to save the whole boat. Okay? Allah's decree caused them to be upset about the small damage to replace them to lose the boat completely. So, if we evaluate the whole event, we will realize that it was for their sake and for their benefit. That damage in the boat saved the boat, saved their provision. So, that evil which they were so upset with, okay, it turns to be good for them. So, this is the explanation that you may dislike a thing, they dislike to have a hole in the boat. But it turns to be good for them because of the king who was actually always seizing any good boat. Okay, who knows about the king, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who knows that the king will not seize a boat which has a hole, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who planned for saving those poor people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the true believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must all the time remember these facts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always is supporting the true believers. Those are poor people, kind people, trying to live their life. They have only a boat, okay, which is the source of their provision. We must believe that Allah will always support the believers, even if an evil event happened in their life. Okay, still the believer must be having the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe a small damage will save the whole boat. Okay, maybe a small event, a bad event or harmful event in my life, I am sure that this is saving me from a lot of other big problems, which only Allah knows, as it happens to the people of the boat in the Surah Al-Kahf, because Allah is the most merciful with the believers. Okay, so this is the event number one. As for the young boy, Allah revealed his wicked nature to Al-Khidr. That boy was a disbeliever. Had he lived, he would have caused his parents too much trouble. His parents were true believers. So if that boy was to grow up, he might have led them, out of love of him, to follow him in his wickedness. Hence Allah directed that pious servant Al-Khidr to kill the boy, in order to replace him with one who would be better and more dutiful. So it was a good deed for saving this believer's parents. Again, sisters, we have to reflect on this reality. In our life, it is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test some parents with the loss of their children. Okay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, He sent for us a story in the Quran so that we always return to this story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified and is clarifying to every Muslim and to every parent that there are unhidden knowledge which you don't know, and you will never know, and you are not supposed to know, because this is the knowledge of the unseen. The knowledge of the unseen is only to the Lord of the heavens and the earth. This is the law of this life. Okay, so I am not supposed to all the time find the reasons for my decree. No, you are not supposed to find the reasons, because you know not, and you will never know. And the more you try to know, the more you will be far from the truth. Because the truth is only to Allah, which none can imagine, which none is allowed to know. Okay? So, whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing with loss of any of the children, okay, he must always remember this story. Allah knows and I know not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all the wisdom and all the mercy regarding the decree of the believer. As we are, inshallah, true believers in Allah, like the parents of this boy whom it was the decree of Allah to kill him, okay, we must accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that we may dislike a thing, and it is good for us. Okay, to dislike, to lose a child or my son or my daughter is the normal reaction of the human being. But the true believer always remember the decree of Allah, the knowledge of Allah, the wisdom of Allah, and everyone has to tell to herself or to himself, myself, we know not. We are all belonging to Allah, and to Allah we will all return. So long I am a true believer in Allah, inshallah, all the decree of Allah is mercy for me. Inshallah, there is good for me and for my child. There is a very big, you know, mercy in this event, in the second one, which, you know, people are not aware of. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for that wicked boy to die before puberty, Allah will send him to paradise. You see? Because he didn't do any bad deed. So Allah saved the boy, and Allah saved the parents. You see, so again and again, as parents, when we lose our children, okay, we must be sure that this is for their sake and for our sake. For their sake, because there is a possibility that they will go astray, and then they will have a lot of sins in their life. So it is better to close their chapter as early as possible. For them, not to be disbelievers or not to be sinners, and for the parents not to be pulled by the love of the kids, okay, away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how the believer in Allah, the believer in the Quran, always have the medicines from the Quran. This is the medicine of the Quran, the healing for the spirits. It is always good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So long I believe that I don't have the knowledge, all praise to Allah. My Lord, the one whom I believe in, the one whom I have all my trust in him, I am sure, inshallah, that I may dislike a thing, but inshallah, there is good in it. Then we will move to the third, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, third event, burning the wall, which Albert to rebuild, asking no payment for it, despite the refusal of hospitality from the town people. This wall had a treasure underneath. This treasure belonged to two young orphans in the town. Had the wall left to fall down, the treasure would have come visible, and the two boys would not have been able to claim it, considering their weakness. Since their father was a pious and righteous man, Allah allowed his children to benefit by his piety. While they were weak, Allah willed to give them the time necessary to grow up and to dig up their treasure when they are in the position to keep it. So again and again, sisters, sometimes you look around and you notice that, for example, the people of that town, they were not nice people, they were not kind people, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with al-qadr to rebuild a wall in their town without having any money. Okay? So, everyone always question, why those wicked people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing them with a lot of blessings, and the true believers are not having blessings, and they always have the hard life. Okay? This is totally wrong. Blessings are not supposed to be evaluated from the point of view of the human being whom they know not. Okay? There are a lot of blessings which we human beings evaluate as blessings, and in reality they are the real hardship and the real problems. So we are always, as true believers, we are supposed always, you know, to have the belief that there are hidden reasons, okay, for all the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, and because of these hidden reasons, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us sometimes to like things which are not good for us, and to dislike things which are good for us. Okay, so we must keep this fact clear in our mind as true believers, okay, and never to evaluate the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to our knowledge or according to the outside picture, because it is always not the truth. Okay, first, actually now I have to mention one verse of the Quran so that inshallah I finish the whole story. Okay, actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in verse number 82, Al-Khidr said, you know, after clarifying all these realities, he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and I did them not of my own accord. That is the interpretation of those things over which you couldn't hold patience. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Al-Khidr, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Al-Khidr disowns any share in any of these actions. It is Allah's mercy that dictated all his action. It was all by Allah's command, who had imparted to him the necessary knowledge in such cases and showing him what to do in each case. Again and again, this is Al-Khidr, a man whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him for some of the divine knowledge for a purpose. Okay, for us believers, Muslims, when we read this story, we realize that Allah's decree is only up to the knowledge of Allah, and there are many events of our life which we dislike, but it will turn to be good, and there are events in our life which we are looking for, but it will turn to be bad and evil. So let us be patient with Allah's decree, and let us be content with Allah's decree. So again, Al-Khidr didn't say, I know this, it is my knowledge, I am the one. No, never. You see, the pious true believer never clarify any power or any knowledge to himself. Okay, the more you are believer in the unity of Allah, the more you say, I am ignorant. I don't know anything. All the knowledge is only up to Allah. If I have knowledge, it is from Allah. If I do good deeds, it is from Allah. All what I am doing is out of Allah's mercy. Because he believes that everything is up to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would not be able to have any of this divine knowledge except by the mercy and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now inshaAllah, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I want to apply this story and these lessons to our daily life so that inshaAllah we get the benefit of the Qur'an.
Okay. Now, I don't understand where it is written about in Qur'an name Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam.
I know it is. It is written al-Khidr.
Kida, where it is written?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
In translation, I can say.
In the hadith of Prophet Muhammad.
Yeah, it is in the hadith of Prophet.
I have to correct this knowledge. The name is not mentioned in the Quran. Yes, I am sorry. Yes, I want to mention that it is mentioned in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a comment on the story of Prophet Musa and Al-Khidr. He said that if Prophet Musa was more patient, we were supposed to be allowed to have more knowledge from Al-Khidr, but Musa was not patient and he lost, the third option, with Al-Khidr, and it was, over for him to have more knowledge from Al-Khidr. So actually, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, is the one who mentioned us about the name. Yes, thank you very much for this.
Yeah, because I remember them every time.
So actually, we all agree that the action of Al-Khidr, which represents Allah's decree, they seemed evil and unexpected in the first instance. But now they appear to be simple and wise. It is when we are allowed to know the hidden reasons for our life events that we realize that, number one, all Allah's decree is good for the believer. Number two, you may hate something and it is good for you. Number three, Allah knows and you know not. And now, on applying this in our worldly life, number one, the believer must be content with Allah's decree. You never know when problems in your life could actually be a source of good for you. They are problems, but they may be a source of good for you. You must always believe that there is a possibility of good in every hardship. Keep your spirit away from the pressure and damage of the hardship by keeping it living in the belief that there may be good in that hardship. Now, actually, sisters, I want to clarify to you how to apply these rules in the Quran so that, inshallah, it will be cure and heal for many of the hardships which we are facing in our life. Believing that there may be something which I hate, but Allah will make good out of it. Believing in that rule will help you to live many of the disasters of our life while you are calm, while you are content, while you are in a good relation with Allah, while you are believing that there will be good out of that hardship. And let us start with the hardship of illness. Okay, or test of illness, okay, which is actually the most important for the human being nowadays and for most of the Muslim, is not to have true belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In reality, the most important for them is to have good health and good wealth. This is the most important. Okay, so health, good health, is one of the top priorities of the human beings. Okay, so when they have illness, they become so desperate, they become so actually upset, and actually they always feel that it is Allah who caused me to be ill. Oh Allah, why I am ill? Oh Allah, why I can't enjoy life? Oh Allah, why I have pain? Oh Allah, why I am in need of the people? Oh Allah, why? It is always the illness that the people dislike, and they feel that it is one of the greatest hardship of life, which never has good in it. And when you say to the sisters, for example, one sister whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing her with illness, okay, you tell her, sister, be patient with Allah's decree and always remember the verse of the Quran that you may hate something and it has good in it. She will tell you, for example, sister Mona, can you please explain to me what is good in my illness, what is good in feeling pain, what is good in being bedridden for some time, what is good in losing the days of my life, not enjoying anything, I can't eat well, I can't move, I can't go out, I can't do any responsibility. Can you please clarify to me what may be good in this hardship? I will tell her, my dearest sister, if you remember the verse of the Quran, which Allah said, I want to the verse of the Quran, which is number 80, Surah number 26. If you remember this verse of the Quran, sister, inshallah, yes. Surah number 26, Surah Shu'ara, verse number 80. Okay? In this verse of the Quran, you will find the answer for your question, what is good in illness? Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse said, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِي. And when I am ill, it is He who cures me. So sister, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you with illness so that you can remember this Quranic rule. When you are ill, it is He who cures you. Run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Escape to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Revise your praying with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you praying the prayers in time? Are you praying the prayers with sincerity? Are you praying all the prayers and in the way which you feel that you are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another verse of the Quran, which I will mention to you now, verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to do dua to Him so that He will answer us. So now when you are ill, what you are supposed to do? You are supposed to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to hear your voice because maybe you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you to remember Him? It is number one priority, the illness. When the people become ill and they feel that it is up to Allah, as Allah said, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ. I am the only one to cure you. Then the people start to remember Allah and the power of Allah and the mercy of Allah and everything up to Allah. Okay, let me pray to Allah and let me call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the people start to remember Allah and the people start to pray better. And the people start to do dua to Allah better. And the people start to treat others in a more better way. You always notice that the very difficult personalities, when they become ill, they change. They become nice. You know, they lose the arrogant. They try to be kind with the people. It is out of the need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is out of the feeling of the weakness, okay, of the illness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them, you know, to get rid of their bad manners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to remember Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to pray well and to do dua well, to have good deeds, to become true believers. So out of the illness, there are many people, when they become ill, especially, you know, long time illness or severe illness, okay, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they return to, you know, obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they change their way of life, accordingly, it turns that illness was a great blessing for them, because illness was the reason that they returned to be true obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best gift in life, the best gift in life is to be the true believer, living your life through obedience to the owner of this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in our worldly life, we must evaluate hardships correctly. We must always live with the belief that myself, whatever hardship I face and I dislike, I must believe that it may be good for me. So let me return to Allah. Let me become closer to Allah. Let me increase my relation, my true belief and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that inshaAllah, under any circumstances, the hardship will be good for me. Because it caused me to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, I will mention to you now a true story, because it is always that the true stories are effective, you know, with the sisters and in, you know, in Islam to prove the rules of Allah. In 1983, I was a resident in the pediatric department in King Fahd University in the eastern province of Saudi Arabia. And this was 83. Okay, me and my husband were residents, and actually at that time, you know, they were hiring a lot of residents. One of the residents, she was, you know, an also an Egyptian, you know, ophthalmologist, and she was a resident in ophthalmology. She was Egyptian. We arrived, you know, at the same time. So I come to know her and her husband. So I asked her, you know, how are you? You know, are you happy to come and to work in the Gulf? She told me, you know, I don't like to work in the Gulf. Actually, I brought my nanny with me. I told her, you brought your nanny while you are a resident? You know, if you are so well off, why you come to work in the Gulf area if you have your nanny and you bring your nanny? She told me, you know, my husband, he wants, you know, to have a better position, and he, this is his decision. But for me, my daddy was totally against this. Actually, in reality, she was from one of the very biggest, you know, families in Egypt, very well off in reality. Okay, and they have a great palace in the best place in Egypt, and you know she has her own nanny. Okay, so I told her, okay, so now your nanny was a must. She told me, yes, I never cook, I never clean, I never touch anything. I can't live without my nanny. I told her, okay, very good. No problem. Then the month of Ramadan comes. You see, Allah knows that this is the truth. So, you know, I feel that there is something good in that person, you know, it's that she's telling the truth. You know, she's not hiding anything. So when the month of Ramadan comes, she told me, Mona, she was my neighbor. I want to tell you one thing. I told her what? She told me, I never fast the month of Ramadan. I told her, never? She told me, yes. Me and my sister and my father and my mother, we never fast the month of Ramadan. My daddy said that fasting the month of Ramadan will cause some problems in our stomach. So we never fast the month of Ramadan, we never pray, you know, and sometimes actually daddy think that, you know, drinking a small amount of red wine in every meal will make you in the best health. So I was drinking this when I was in Egypt, but here, you know, in Saudi Arabia, it is not allowed. Fasting, forget about fasting. I told her, okay, no problem. You know, in my life, you know, this is strange, but no problem. Okay. Actually, she spent 3 years, you know, in the university with us, and, you know, actually, she was not close to me, you know, but alhamdulillah, time passed. Okay. After 5 years, you know, one of her closest friends, she was with us, she called me. Actually, I moved to Riyadh, and they returned to Egypt. So she called me and told me, Mona, I will tell you a very big surprise you will never imagine. I told her what? She told me, you remember our colleague so-and-so, whom she was having the nanny and the red wine? I told her, yes. She told me, you can't imagine her situation now. She is now putting the hijab fully, and she's memorizing the Quran. And she is praying, you know, all the nafila. And she is fasting Monday and Thursday. I told her, MashaAllah. What happened? She told me she had severe rheumatoid arthritis. You see, this is the illness. This is the mercy of the illness. Okay, she told me she suddenly, one day, she waked up, she can't move from the bed. She had severe inflammation in every joint of her body. And it was a long trip of illness for her. One of the scholars told her, you have to change all your lifestyle 100%. Otherwise, Allah, the one who cures the illness, will never cure you. She promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change her lifestyle. And she followed all the commands of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her to be cured 80%. But she is still fulfilling her promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. MashaAllah, you can't imagine her. This is the proof that you may dislike the illness and Allah make good out of it. Okay? So every believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not supposed to evaluate the hardships of life as this is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because Allah doesn't like me. Allah wants me to waste my life in this illness. Oh Allah, why? No, the believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always evaluate the hardships as it can be the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can be good for me. There is always good in every hardship. This is the reality of the hardship. This is the reality of the test of the life. Always we become away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are living the prosperity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, will make events of in our life which we dislike. But again and again, it is the same rule of the Quran. You may dislike a thing and it is good for you. So actually, this is the hardship of the illness. Okay? I will tell you now another story about the hardship of the problems of the marriage. Because always when there is a problem in the marriage, for example, for the wife, she will feel that or she will believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing me. Everyone is living a happy marriage life, and I am the only one whom I am having problems in my marriage. My dearest sister, your evaluation is totally wrong. Okay? Always and always remember the rule of the Quran, which Allah clarified, that you may dislike a thing and it is good for you. Okay? I will tell you a story of one also of my... All my stories, alhamdulillah, are real life stories. Okay? This is actually... Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, a story of a wife, you know, whom she was a normal wife. What is the meaning of a normal wife? Normal wife, at my time, 30 years ago, this means that she is not covered, okay, and she's working day and night, okay, and she wants to be equal to her husband, and they are actually, you know, all the time in competition in their at home, okay, and she was living her life praying, as most of the Muslims praying, superficial praying, fasting the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, this is the most important for the Muslim, subhanallah, okay, and giving the charity. But true belief, recitation of the Quran, rules of the Quran, Islam is a way of life, was not around. Okay, and suddenly she noticed that her husband start to be, you know, late in work. Okay, a week, second week, third week, he is always late in work. Okay, so she started, you know, to question him, why you are late, this and that. So he told her, I want to tell you one thing. I will have a style for my life. I will always be in the nightclub until 3 a.m. every morning. You like it, most welcome. You don't like it, I will divorce you. Okay? Yes, very clear. Okay? At that time, she has three kids. Okay? 10, 11, and 12. That father, he was so kind with the kids. Okay? He was an excellent father. But as a husband, he had a problem. Okay? So actually, that sister, she told me, Mona, I feel that this is a great hardship for me in my life. I can be easily divorced. I have a work, I have an income, I have an apartment, okay, I have a prestigious family, and I can forget about him. My biggest problem was my children. They loved their father. They can't live with him. They told me, if you will be divorced, we will be with him. We will not be with you. So she told me, Mona, I can't live without my children. So I decided to escape to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I started to change all my lifestyle. I asked one of my friends whom she is having, you know, like halaqah for the Quran. I asked her to help me to attend with her. I start to attend to know about the tafsir of the Quran. This is the most important at the beginning, to know the meaning of the Quran. So she started to feel that all her lifestyle is wrong. She told me, Mona, immediately, subhanAllah, with the hardship, the spirit is ready to change. At the time of the hardship. Okay, she told me, Mona, alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah, I always remember that hardship. It was the reason that I changed my lifestyle 180 degrees. Immediately I put the head cover. Immediately I start to pray with full sincerity. I have the Quran with me. I start to read the Quran every day. It becomes part of the routine of my life to recite the Quran daily. And to pray with sincerity. I was trying my best. I shifted all my anger from my husband, from the decree of Allah, from my children whom they love their father more than me. I shifted all my anger to the direction of the obedience of Allah, calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking for the mercy and trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, sister, it is not easy. Okay, you have to know this because we are realistic. But you have two options. Either to destroy your life, okay, and to start the journey of divorce, which is terrible, horrible, damaging trip for the kids. You must admit this, especially with a father who loved his children and is kind to them. The mother whom she decided to divorce because of her husband, forgetting about the trust of the children, okay, she is damaging the future of her children. She is very selfish human being. Yes, because marriage is a company. There is a husband, father and kids. The future are the kids. They are not supposed to pay the price for your choice. Your choice, you have to pay the price for it. Okay, this is how we have to evaluate life as a test. Full of hardships. But the hardship will turn to be good for the true believer. That sister, she told me, Mona, I refuse to have this choice. To make my kids to pay the price. I decided that I will be the one to pay the price. I will be the one to forget completely about my own self. I will connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will escape to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will try to be the true believer inshaAllah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sisters, is always looking for this kind of human being. The one who is having the intention, oh Allah, I want to escape. Oh Allah, I want to obey. Oh Allah, I want to follow. Immediately, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower that human being. She told me, Mona, you can't imagine. I start to evaluate life totally different. Actually, that sister is so close to me like my mother. Alhamdulillah. She told me, Mona, I lived years and years, not days, not months. I lived years and years with my husband, coming at 3 o'clock a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m. I am on the prayer rug, okay, rug, correct?
Prayer rug.
Rug, yes. Praying to Allah at night, Fajr prayer, all the time. Oh Allah, help me, support me, make him to be all right again. Make him to be, you know, to return to the right path. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah. She told me I was praying 2 hours per night, okay? She was telling me, you know, Mona, the more I pray, the more I get rid of the anger from my heart. And Allah is replacing it with mercy, hope and trust. So I pray the night, then in the morning I feel that I am balanced. I can tolerate him again and start a new day with him. Keeping calm, keeping patient, having my children as my goal in my life. After obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah was making me always busy and always having a hope and always in a good shape psychologically and in my health. Then Mona, one day My husband came to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. He told her, I am so sorry for all the trouble which I caused you. I knew that you were having very difficult life and I was not a good husband. But I am sorry for all what happened and I ask forgiveness from you and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, her husband changed his attitude. It happened after 10 years that she became ill. And her husband was the one who took care of her, who was taking care of the children, of the house, and everything with all the kindness and love and support. You see, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the belief, this is the rules of the Quran, this is the reality of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to follow the rules. Allah said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in verse number 123, okay, in Surah Hud. Okay, always sister, again and again, I am giving you these rules of cure and heal in the Quran. Yes, Surah Hud, Surah number 11, I mentioned to you this rule of the Quran many times, but again and again, try to have a chain of the rules. Okay, of the rules of the Quran, inshallah, I will make, you know, one list of the rules of the Quran which is related to Allah's decree. So that inshallah we will print it in our hearts and we will print it in papers and we always remind ourselves with it. One of them is in verse number 123 in surah number 11, Surah Hud, Allah said, وَلِلَّهِ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُ الْأَمْرُ كُلُّ فَاعْبُدُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. And to Allah belongs the unseen of the heavens and the earth. So inshallah now again at the verse of the Quran, and to Allah belongs the unseen of the heavens and the earth, and to him returns all the affairs for decision, so worship him, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the followers, and put your trust in him. That's it. Hello, this is my rule in life. I worship Allah, I obey Allah, and I put my trust. This is very important, sisters, for your spirit. All the time, give full support to your spirit. My spirit, we have Allah. My spirit, we put our trust in Allah. My spirit, we are fulfilling the two conditions which Allah mentioned. I must worship Allah, and I must have trust in Him. Alhamdulillah, I am worshiping Allah, obeying Him in all the commands. So myself, have full trust. Allah will help us. Allah will support us. Allah will make what we dislike to turn to be good for us. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my spirit. This is the medicines of the Quran. This is the true medicines. Not the antidepressants, or the escape, or the despair, or complaining. All this is against the rules of the Quran. The rules of the Quran, worship and have trust. So when someone will tell you, do you have problems? Life is a test. So how you are living your life? Worship and trust. And maybe I dislike a thing and it will turn to be good for me. I always living in the area of good for me. How it is good for you? I escape to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am living with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Calling on Him, having hope in Him, having trust in Him, looking for His mercy. Just to live your spirit, to make your spirit to live during the hardship in this area of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the biggest blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The disaster doesn't cause you to lose hope, or to be desperate, or to have high blood pressure, or to have depression, or to have sadness, or to fight, or to lose your health. All praise to Allah. The disaster never touched my heart because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always between me and the disaster. I put trust in Him. I have hope on Him. I am always sure that there is good in His decree. And I am waiting with full patience. And with full patience means with full reward. I am rewarded day and night because I am content with Allah's decree. I am patient with Allah's decree. And I have the full hope and trust that this disaster, inshallah, will turn to be good for me. You save your life. You save your time. You save yourself. You save your health. You save your belief and your relation with Allah. And you save your kids. whom they always pay the high price for the family problems. So again and again, sisters, we need the time to reflect on the rules of the Quran, believing that any rule from Allah is for my sake, is having mercy for me. I must follow it because I am the one who will get the benefit. Allah is not in need of the obedience of anyone. All praise to you, O Allah, the most merciful. This is the message of this verses of the Quran which we read from Surah Al-Kahf. All the events turn to have a reality which is different from the people who are evaluating it. Why? Because of the hidden reasons. Who knows it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is your relation with Allah? Obedience, hope and trust. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, I must clarify a point that your heart should be always satisfied with Allah's choice. If a Muslim repeats, I am content with Allah as my Lord, actually in the morning and evening remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Azkar al-Sabah wal-Masa', okay? We said in Arabic, Raditu billahi rabban wa bil islami deenan wa bi sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? What is the meaning of this in English? I am a Muslim, I am content with Allah as my Lord, Islam as my faith, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my messenger. If you repeat this statement morning and evening and after every call for prayer, radina billahi rabban wa bil islami deenan wa bi sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasulan wa nabiyan, I am content with Allah as my Lord, Islam as my faith, Prophet Muhammad as my messenger, Allah is bound to reward you and forgive your sins. All praise to Allah. I am content with Allah. I am content with Islam. I am content with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, sisters, at the end, there is a very important fact, okay, which every parent has to know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah saved the money and the treasure of the orphan because of the good deeds of their parents. In story number 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made al-qidr to rebuild the wall so that the orphans will grow up and they will have their treasure. Why Allah made that decree for their sake? Because their parents were true believers. So the parents have to remember this. If you like your kids, if you want your kids to always to be saved in life, it is not through having haram money and keeping it as a bank account for them. No, it is through doing the good deeds and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that your good deeds, inshaAllah, will be transformed into mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to your kids. InshaAllah, I will stop here.